You may be seated. Hallelujah. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We are to rejoice this day, today. See, we make the choice to rejoice and to be glad in it. We make that choice. See, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I ain't going to let it slip away. I'm going to be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I don't know about y'all, but I like to be joyful. And there's a lot to be joyful for. Really? Well, if you can't see it, then you're focusing and listening to the lies of the devil. How? The lying news media. That's a big one. You know, there are people that sit and watch news all day long. And it's all a bunch of lies. And then we have the social media. They are called the platforms that they use. And they're propaganda. It's all what they are. They're propaganda platforms who control the narrative. Now, you may hear the story for them, but you got to go to God. And the channels like Flashpoint, Victory News, to hear the true story. To hear the true story. I read something that I wished I would have never read about what's some of the things that's going on and about an individual and some of the things that they're funding. And it was hard for me to not want him to be scorched right then and there. I'm just telling you, it's hard when you know the truth and what's going on that we do not know what they're doing. Because Jesus said, be careful what you listen to. And that's in Mark 4:2. Jesus said it. Be careful what you listen to. So we are not supposed to be moved by what we see or what we hear. So we can easily be deceived if we are not in God's Word daily. And as I've said, pays to word up. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, consider it nothing but joy. Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance and patience, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. Trials are outward circumstances. They're conflicts, they're sufferings and troubles, and they are encountered by all believers. And they're not fun to go through, but we are to consider them, as it says, opportunities. Opportunities for rejoicing. Because the Word tells us in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he repeats it. And again, I say, rejoice. Trials definitely test our faith while going through them. And they will produce patience as we lean on, trust in, and are confident in the Lord. The meaning of patience transcends the idea of bearing affliction. It includes the idea of standing fast under pressure with staying power that turns adversities into opportunities. It leads to spiritual maturity and inner peace. See, inner peace, the state of physical and spiritual calm despite many stressors. A lot of them stressors are out there. Am I right? So Psalm 42, verse 5. The passion. So then, my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Savior. For no matter what, I will sing with praise, for you are my saving grace. And that He is. Scripture says, for by grace we have been saved by faith. Nothing we could ever earn or do for this salvation. For it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. Salvation was the love gift that brought us to Christ. For God so loved the world, His creation, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
As you can see, everything. Jesus said, I have come to give you everything in abundance. Do you believe that? Say, I believe.
I believe.
Dean, I guess I didn't hear. How many times did you say that? I believe.
Yeah, I believe.
One more time.
I believe.
Three times. See, I believe. More than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. That's part B of John 10:10. Of course, you all know that. But you know, every time I thought it, I was saying, I wonder if I should need to go get a cup, a big old cup, take a picture, and you're pouring it. All of a sudden, it starts getting very top. You want to stop. Well, see, God doesn't stop. All of a sudden, it just starts overflowing and overflowing. See, with God, He don't stop it. Unless you reach up and push it out of the way. And He says, what did you do that for? Don't stop the flow. Jesus was talking about our having an abundant, overflowing life in this life today. Today, or right now. We can't afford to remain focused on past regrets. But we also can't afford to live in future, in the fear of the future, can we? Mm-mm. See, some people, they rejoice in their yesterdays. They're always talking about the good old days. The good old days. You know the good old days? You know, I was down there at the Atlantic Station. 25 cents a gallon. Them were the good old days, right? Well, you know, these are good days. How can you look at it? Well, it's $4 a gallon. If you're tithing, you ain't going to have to worry about it. You're going to have enough finances to buy your gas to get you where you need to go. Others are always waiting for someday. Someday. Putting it off into the future. But God's Word says today is the day to rejoice and to be glad in it. Today. God has designed a plan for today, and He wants us to step into that plan. He wants us to begin living above life's limitations and enjoy all His benefits now, today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time for healing and deliverance and provision. Today is a day of overcoming and coming on to spiritual maturity. Today has great value. But we must take advantage of the opportunity it presents. If we don't, the promises of today will be of no value to us. How we respond to today's opportunities will determine tomorrow's testimonies. Now in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13 through 19, here, this is an example of a missed opportunity. But encourage one another as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The Aramaic can be translated the sin of the deceiver. The deceiver can be referring to the devil or to our own ability to be self-deceived. Look it up. You tell a lie about something long enough, you start to believe it. You align yourself with the lies of the devil, you know. So, but you just tell it so much yourself, you convince yourself that. Verse 14, we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction, it's talking about faith, conviction, firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter into His rest? If not to those who disobeyed. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. The children of Israel were not able to enter in and possess what God had promised them because of their unbelief. They died in the wilderness because they missed the opportunity to simply believe. Simply believe. Simply believe God and take Him at His word and go possess the land. Many people today, because of their unbelief, are not able to enter into the things God has for them. As Christians, we can't afford to disbelieve for one moment. Not for 1 minute, in fact. What God has said in His Word. We must be faithful in the here and now. Believing Him and laying claim to the promises this day, today. Today, as we lay claim to His promises, we are saying officially that we believe that His promises belong to us. promises of His divine healing, divine health, divine prosperity, divine total recovery, whole. Can one be made whole again? Yeah. Hey, can. With God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible if we simply believe is right. Hebrews 3:13 challenges us to obey God's word today. Today, listen to what He says. Do not be stubborn as in the past when you turned against God. And then in Psalm 95, verse 7 and 8, says, He is our God, and we are the people He takes care of, and the sheep He tends. Today, listen to what He says. Do not be stubborn, like a mule. Don't be bullheaded. I added those parts. But that's what He said. There's a, do not be stubborn. Today, listen to what He has to say. See, when we receive revelation from His Word, He wants us to be a doer of the Word instantly. Not sometime in the future, but instantly. When we start dragging our feet and start pondering on what we heard, doubt and unbelief come, and they come quickly. God is saying very clearly, don't be like the children of Israel who hardened their hearts and disobeyed me. We're not to be like them. Puts it on your heart, told you, move forward. You get up and you move. Doubt and unbelief are why so many people don't receive from God. They read certain promises in His Word. They may have even believed those promises once, but contrary circumstances rose up and caused them to back off of their faith. Not a good place to be. And they lost their victory when they should have been celebrating the win. Been there? Experienced that? Let me tell you, it's not too late. Joel 2:12, Message Bible, just so you know where it's God's be. With God, it is never too late. Face know when you hear that in God's Word. You know, oh, Pat, that's what you said, Pat. No, that's what the Word said. With God, it is never too late. So, though, if that describes you today, this is the day to pick up those promises again and meditate them until they become part of you. Speak them out until they register in your spirit. Then keep speaking them until you see the manifestation of what you are believing. The key thing is, start today. This day. Be consistent and persistent in speaking God's promises. And use them in your prayers consistently and persistently. Our parents, teachers, and others of authority have tried to install in us a right now attitude. Spiritually speaking, some put off believing God's word. They have a I'll get to it later attitude. Well, I don't know about you, but putting things off until later, it just never worked for me. No, never did. If you're like me, when your mom and dad asked you to do something, you knew they wanted it done right away. With my dad, it always was, now. I mean, now. And when I'm saying not later, he didn't mean in 10 minutes. He meant now. Jack! That's all. I knew. Get moving. He wanted it done now. But they would never accept us putting it off. Mm-mm. So what makes you think that procrastinating will work with our Heavenly Father? Jack! Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've been in my office walking back and forth praying and saying, okay. And that's how he has to get my attention sometimes. Because your mind starts to wonder. Getting me back on track. I told you to do this. I told you to go down this way. Yeah, but I think it'd go better this way. And that's when he has to get real loud. Yeah. And I listen. So he wants us to believe him today. And he wants us to trust him. Right now. Right now. This day. Don't limit God to the past or future. He is a today God. That's a problem. We don't realize he is a today God. Enter into his blessings by faith today. Because we know without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We are to make the most of the present. Get out of the past and don't fear or have any anxiety about the future. The more you watch the TV, the more anxiety you're going to have. I'm just telling you, I know it. Trust God. He got you covered. Got you covered with the powerful, precious, cleansing blood of the Lamb. Jesus' blood. See, we are overcomers. Yeah, we are. And we overcome by the blood. The blood of the Lamb. And what? And the words of our testimony. Our actions today open doors of opportunity tomorrow. Instead of passively waiting for opportunity to come someday, we must act on what we believe this day, today. We should be confessing today the word that cannot and will not fail us if we hold fast to it. See, it comes back to us. You ever notice that? God gives us everything we need, but it's up to us to receive it and to take it and to act upon it. How we believe today will affect what we receive from him tomorrow. Unbelief kept the Israelites out of the promised land. For what? 40 years. I ain't got 40 years to wait. And it's going to keep us out of the promises in the promised land today. But God. There's that but God. But God's word is the vehicle that will transport us from where we are now to the place where we experience all the goodness Christ paid for us to have. The goodness of God. Our God is a good God. And I thought everybody would be saying, yeah, amen. Because see, if you know and you love him that much, that should be our response. I mean, oh, wow, yeah, Jesus. I mean, she just showed me a picture of that little girl that we've been praying for. And it's like, huh. But I didn't, you know, I let Michelle know that I didn't have to actually see the picture because I already believed. And I wasn't being like, hey, no, I have learned that once I set myself in agreement with something and I pray and I believe, I don't move. I don't waver off of it. Do I, brother? Without spot nor blemish, without any abnormalities whatsoever, perfect from head to toe. Amen? I don't care what man says. I don't care what any doctor says. I know who I believe in. And we have a healing God.
Yes, we do.
And He loves us. He loves us. Man, it's when you can wrap your arms around that love. Because you know what it is when you truly love someone, your person, and you put your arms around him. That's what he does for us. That feeling. Because when you're held in those arms of that love, boy, you're just at peace. You are so content with what's going on. It doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother you. Yesterday, today, forever. He's a good God. On our best days or our worst days, He is a good God. When we understand the circumstances, or when we don't understand, He is still a good God. He never changes. Now, you might know the goodness of God, but do you really know what it's like to taste and see that the Lord is good? Mm-hmm. That's Psalm 34, verse 8, by the way. Just think about the difference between knowing about something and experiencing it for yourself. So when you taste and see something, it isn't just something you've heard about or believe. It's something you've experienced firsthand. And you can testify to its truth. For example, Ruby. I didn't have to go any further. Haley. I mean, how many more? Tyler. And wow. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, for example, now I chose this one. You can put whatever kind of cake you want there. For example, you may have seen a big old carrot cake with cream cheese icing on it. You believed it existed? And you've even seen others enjoying it, but it isn't real and tangible in your own life until you've tasted it yourself. We got to recognize it and know what we've tasted. Maybe you believe God is good, but you aren't sure He'll be good to you or that He'll be good to you in every area of your life, health, family, and finances. Maybe you know He's the giver of good and perfect gifts, and you've seen them operating in others. Do you ever find yourself doing that, looking at them? When's that going to happen for me? When's that going to happen for me? It probably happens for you. But are you aware of it? No. We don't even take time to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. How hard is that? Thank you, Lord. Let me ask you, are you expecting to see those kind of things in your own life more than just occasionally? The goodness of God doesn't come and go with the seasons. See, He is always good. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. He desires to bless you, to heal you, deliver you, prosper you every day. So, if you're a believer and you aren't enjoying life, well, you're not doing it. You're not doing it right. What do you got to do? Believe, lean on, trust in, put your total confidence in the Lord. Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Till it overflows. God wants us to enjoy this today. If you're not experiencing and expecting the fullness of the blessings of God in every part of your life, even to the smallest part, it's time for a change. It's time to taste the goodness of God. Believe that you see the goodness of God is key. Is a key thing. Psalm 27:13. David wrote, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That means today, this is the land of the living. It's not when we go to heaven. Now, in the land of the living. The Word tells us to lean on, trust in, and place our total confidence in the Lord. Our Heavenly Father wants us to approach Him with confidence today. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Our gracious God. Thank you, Anthony, for the scripture. They will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. When Anthony gets ready to pray, that's the way he prays. That's what he says. Boldly, he goes to the throne of grace. Because he goes with an expectancy. He's expecting that God's going to hear him. So he goes with that boldness. I'm going to the throne. He's going to the next level. He's bypassing all this in-between stuff. See, because Jesus made it that way for us. Jesus did that for us. We can approach God's throne. There's a lot of grace up there. You can't never use up that grace. But we don't want to abuse it either. He wants His children to start believing and trusting Him this day. Today. Some of you say, well, I have. How about getting rid of that? I have and said, yeah, I am. I am. It's your words. Words are very powerful. They're very key. So when you stop and you say something, you realize what you said. Might have to analyze it once in a while and then go back and print a retraction. Get it? You know? Because it's like once you say them sometimes, they just imprint there and they just keep coming back up in front of you. You know? And we don't want that. Mm-mm. Each one of us is on this earth for such a time as this. For the here and now. God has a plan and a purpose for everyone. And it's a good plan. Every plan of God is good and perfect. Whatever is good and perfect comes from God. Each of our personal plans are unique to us. They're designed to complement one another in the body of Christ. Not everybody's plan is the same. That's why we work together in the body. He planned it that way. No man is an island. I like that. God is a good God. God wants us to rejoice and be glad today. He wants us to live a victorious life and a life overflowing with His blessings today. Unfortunately, many Christians in the body of Christ are not excited about today because they've lost their first day attitude. They've lost their first day attitude. Let me explain. Do you remember what it was? Remember how you felt and how what you thought when you first got saved and you realized how much God loved you? You were full of joy. Unspeakable joy. Yeah. And how about the day you were married or the day you held your baby in your hands and you looked into those eyes? And there was that little tiny baby. And that baby was trusting you. Those babies are a gift from God. And when you hold that baby in your hand, and you're looking down, you're looking at that face. And now when you sit back and looking at your grandkids, you look at those eyes, you look at that face. And you know that they depend on you. They're totally dependent on you to take care of them. Make sure they got enough food. Make sure that their diaper gets changed. Make sure they get burped. You know, all that kind of stuff. And it's through the years as you grow and they mature and you watch them. They're going to be a direct reflection of who you are and how you treated them, how you took care of them. They will feel the love. They will feel the love. Sometimes they can be a little rascal. You know, they're your kids. You'll love them. You'll love them. So if we will learn to live with that first day attitude, we'll find life a little more rewarding. We'll be so full of that energy and strength that we won't think about the past. We'll be so busy rejoicing in today. Our attitude about today is a choice we make. Today we can begin living to the full. We can live victoriously above hindrances and limitations. And with God, there's no limitations. Only the limitations you choose to put on Him. Don't limit God. In Joshua 24, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And we aren't going to let it slip away, are we? No, we're not. But let us take the day and reflect and rejoice in the day and every day. And that's why I tell you, that's why I start my day with that scripture. This day. I got to keep reminding myself, this day. Each and every day is a new day that he has made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Each day, it's a choice we make. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let us get the